All right, this interview is with a couple of my favorite creators, Kyle Higgins and Alex Siegel. They are the writers who brought us Cowl from Image Comics, which is quickly coming to an end here. I'm going to be sad to see it go, but we know that the door is not closed, and we may be seeing some more stories from the Cowl universe in the future. However, for the majority of this interview, we're talking about their new project that was just recently announced at Image Expo, Hadrian's Wall. And as much as I enjoyed Cowl, I have a feeling I may enjoy Hadrian's Wall even more for a few reasons. It's more of a story about one particular character rather than an ensemble, so that appeals to me. And also, it's science fiction, which always appeals to me more so than just straight superhero or a superhero drama as Cowl was. You know, it was kind of superhero drama set in the 60s. This is going to be more of a straight sci-fi story set in the far future, a little bit of alternate history thrown in. So, as I said, I'm certainly looking forward to it, and I'll let Kyle and Alec tell you all about it. And if you're fans at all of Cowl, if you're fans of Kyle or Alec or Rod Reese for that matter, I'm pretty sure you can't listen to this interview and hear what the book is going to be about and not start to anxiously anticipate it as I am. So I'll let you all enjoy the interview, and we'll talk to you next time. Right, this is Jace from The Comic Source here Saturday, San Diego Comic-Con, with comic creators Alex Siegel and Kyle Higgins. How are you doing today, gentlemen?
Awesome.
Yeah, pretty good. Pretty good. I'm caffeinated today.
Yeah.
So
okay.
Yeah. Cool. I wasn't caffeinated yesterday. It was not a good scene.
All right. Well, I want to talk a little bit about your book that just got announced, Hadrian's Wall.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
But, of course, we have to talk just a tiny bit about Cowl first.
Sure.
Just an awesome, amazing book. But it's been a part of your lives for a very long time. Is that fair to say?
Is it 8 years now, I think? Well, for me, it was longer for you.
Yeah, like 10 years for me. Like, it's weird. I remember coming up with the concept. It was just something that made me laugh, like a superhero labor union. And that was probably the summer of 2005. So literally like 10 years to the day. I was working summers at the company my dad worked at, Accurate Dispersions. They make colorant for paint. And I was working in like the R&D and QC labs. And it was very like monotonous kind of work. And
right.
So I don't know. I was just joking around with somebody about it. And then it just kind of, I think we were talking about the labor politics or something, and then it said, and then superheroes came in, and I was like, well, that's pretty funny. And then I was like, well, maybe the villains are villains because I couldn't get into the union. And it was like, oh, yeah, that's really funny. And so I started writing it as like a joke piece, and then realized I didn't know how to write. Well, I did, but I didn't know how to write comics.
Comics, right.
And so I like put it on the back burner. And then when I went to Chapman, I needed a writing sample to get into the film school. And so I wrote it as this prose piece, this like short story that if we ever collect, like if we ever do a big hardcover of like the first two volumes or something, like I've actually been thinking I'll put the short story in there, the first piece. But again, it was more of like a satire and a comedy. And it wasn't until the idea of the 60s came into it that it became more serious.
Right.
And so that turned into the thesis film, my thesis film, The League, that Alec came on and wrote with me. And then from then until now, it's been, you know, something that we'd talked about a lot and kind of figured out characters and different storylines in the world. And so when the opportunity came up to do a book at Image, you know, Cowl was something that we were doing on the side with Rod anyway, and he had painted in watercolors like 7 pages. And I happened to be talking to Eric Stevenson about a different book, and he just kind of asked like what else was going on. I said, oh, well, you might get a kick out of this. And I showed him these pages, and he's like, holy cow. He's like, what is this? Like, what's going on with this? And I told him, you know, we're just doing it on the side, and we'll probably like self-publish it in Brazil. Because Rod, that's where he lives, and he wants a book out in Brazil, and then see if there are any U.S. publishers interested. And Eric was like, well, I'm interested. So that was it. So the book happened, like, on the spot. So, sorry, that's a long-winded way of saying that it's nice to be able to kind of close that door. Like it's a, you know, it's the end of a chapter in some ways. Like there's a lot more we want to do with it, but for now, like volume two makes sense as a stopping point, and then we can, you know, come back maybe at some point.
Right. It's probably good to step away, especially being that it's been a big part of your creative life so far, and then you can come back at it, you know, maybe in a few years with some fresh eyes,
yeah,
a little
totally
different perspective, maybe yeah, some more life experience.
Yeah, I think that's accurate. And you know, there's just other stuff that we all want to do together. And so, like,
right,
Hadrian's Wall is that next? It's the first thing of
right,
the next stuff. You know?
Right. So let's talk a little bit about Hadrian's Wall.
Sure.
First, our listeners who maybe aren't familiar, didn't hear about the announcement at Image Expo. Can you give us a quick 2-minute pitch or the overall big idea?
Yeah, we can run that.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, so it really, it's kind of our love letter to late 70s and 80s sci-fi movies. I mean, things like Blade Runner and Alien and Outland, just things with that kind of aesthetic. So the ship is called Hadrian's Wall, and it's a survey ship that's out at the furthest expanse of human colonized space, and it goes into these new systems to survey and see, okay, we can strip mine this moon, we can terraform that planet, just to kind of see what's of use before people move in to, you know, to do their thing. It's a very small crew, it's only a 10-person crew, very isolated, and then somebody is murdered.
Yeah, so I've been kind of like jokingly describing it as a murder mystery on the Nostromo, but that's actually a pretty apt description.
Right.
So our main character is a gentleman named Simon, who goes out, is sent out to the ship to investigate what happened. And he gets out there, and all the remaining, you know, 9 crew members are basically all suspects. And so everyone has a slightly different story, and he's, you know, there's no one he can really trust. But to complicate it further, the victim is actually an old friend of his, and they had a big falling out years ago because the guy married Simon's ex-wife, Annabelle. So she's on the ship. So in addition to investigating this murder, Simon's also navigating his, like, failed marriage and
right,
a lot of residual feelings and things with Annabelle. And the backdrop to it all is this Cold War that's going on between Earth and its first colony. In the late 1980s, I'm sorry, in the mid-1980s, so like 1985, there were nuclear detonations in New York and Moscow. And the USSR and America basically decided to get their act together, and they, in a lot of ways, trying to have a baby to save the marriage, right? They decided, like, well, let's colonize space together. So now, 100 years later, in 2085 is when our story takes place, and that colony actually wants independence, so there's a new Cold War brewing.
Right.
So really, like, the series is this kind of, like, exploration of broken relationships between worlds, between countries, between people, and, you know, how these things break and what it takes to put them back together if you can at all.
Right. Well, like you mentioned, excuse me, you mentioned your love letter to early 80s. So when I first heard the overall big idea of the story, the first movie that popped into my head was Saturn III. I don't know if you guys have seen Harvey Keitel and Kirk Douglas.
I know the name. I don't think I've seen that one. Okay.
So same kind of thing. They're terraforming a planet. Farrah Fawcett and Kirk Douglas are married. And Harvey Keitel comes in, he's this technician, he's going to teach this robot that's going to help do a lot of work. So not as many characters, but same kind of thing. There's some tension, Harvey
yeah,
Keitel's attracted to her, and so same kind of thing, they're isolated. So that movie very much was cinematic, it was very much visual. So I was wondering if you guys could talk a little bit, I know you bring your film sense into it. How much goes in when you're laying out the story, that cinematic feel?
I don't know. I don't think about it too much, to be honest. I mean, at this point, I kind of write the way I write. When I was first starting in comics, it was definitely more of a struggle and more of a, like, I was thinking about everything that I was writing, you know? Now, I think there is definitely, I know the things that I like. I know the way that I like to write and the way that I like to break things. And so I think that there is a sense of scope in a lot of stuff that I do, and even just the way that, you know, we communicate with Rod in terms of covering a scene and letting things breathe sometimes in silent pages or, you know, we don't like writing voiceover, for example.
Right.
Those are things that definitely come from, like, my background just as far as making movies and screenwriting goes. But at the same time, like, this book in particular is going to be a little different than Cowl in the way that I think it plays to being a comic more than Cowl did. In a lot of ways, Cowl was super dialogue-driven, right?
Yeah, right.
There were very few moments where we were inside people's heads. And a large part of that was because of the nature of the kind of multiple storyline angle. Like, there wasn't really a main character. I mean, Jeffrey was the closest. But there was, like, only one moment I can think of where we were inside Tom Hayden's head in issue 7 of Cowl, where he's, like, looking at his drink, and then he's thinking about John, and we're seeing those match panels to, like, the circle of his cup matches the circular hole in John's chest that he burned, you know, when he killed him. But I love that stuff, you know. I love those kind of, like, memory cuts and stuff like that, and some of the surreal kind of quality that you can do in comics. And we're playing with that a lot more. So, I mean, I think we're definitely looking to take advantage of the medium more with Hadrian's Wall, even though it's influenced by 70s and 80s, you know, films. Rod is kind of looking at a lot of Mobius and things like that for the visual aesthetic. And so he's influenced by kind of 80s comics, you know?
Right.
So we'll see. It's going to be, I think it's going to be a cool project, you know?
I'm very, very much looking forward to it. Alec, I wonder if you could talk about the beats of the story, being that it is a murder mystery. Do you plan on building the tension as it goes along? Could we expect you know, usually that's what happens with mysteries. That's when he gets closer to finding out the answers, the tension level ratchets up.
Yeah, I mean, I think, without giving too much away, I mean, like what Kyle mentioned, that everybody's story is different. I mean, I think there's going to be, Simon will have a very tough time kind of determining, you know, who is telling him the truth. And 'cause everybody at this point, or he'll learn, has, you know, their own self-interest. And like Kyle explained with the backstory, with the Cold War, loyalties of people, are they loyal to Earth? Are they loyal to the colony? That's all going to play into it. So there's all these other larger political things that are going on. And just by the nature of having to consider his ex-wife a suspect, like there's all these things going on, all these interests that people have, that I think is, you know, he'll probably go down a rabbit hole, and then it might not, you know, it might not pan out, and then...
But the other thing with it, too, is, like, this is a book that is really his story, you know, whereas in Cowl, like I was saying before, we had all of these different...
More of an ensemble.
Yeah, and everyone had their own kind of storyline. Even though we're in an isolated environment with, you know, basically 10 people, we're not going to be, you know, we're not going to be telling the story of the 9 other people, really. Like, they'll have bits, but it's predominantly Simon's story, and they are there as he's investigating that.
Yeah.
Right. So the tension will definitely...
Yeah.
Will definitely rest.
As he gets closer to figuring out why it is his friend was killed. Yeah, absolutely.
Cool. I wonder if you could talk a little bit about Rod Reiss. Is that...
Rod Reiss, yeah.
Reiss? Do you guys feel at this point that you're pretty much a team? I mean, would you take him on the next project?
Oh, yeah,
absolutely.
I mean, so you guys are almost like your mini little...
He's so good.
Unto yourself.
Yeah, sorry. He's so good. I think at this point, when we just don't want to let him go. You know, we're just like, he's fantastic. And the way we've kind of been working with Hadrian's Wall is we've kind of given him, okay, we have ideas for a couple, like a number of people on the ship. And before we, you know, a couple of them, we've written things down, like their personalities and what their stories are, and then other characters we haven't gotten to. And he's like, well, let me just kind of tackle that character and just kind of have some ideas. Okay, this person's a mechanic. So he'll do a drawing, and that's kind of informing how we visualize and how we think about the character. And the same thing for the ship. It was like, okay, we kind of know that it's, you know, it's very functional. It's been out there for decades. So even though other parts of the world maybe might be a little bit more technologically advanced, the ship is 30 years old. So, and you know, he did the drawing of the ship, which is on the teaser image that we released, and that's all kind of informing how we see the world. So it's kind of a very much of a back and forth.
Yeah, I mean, I've talked about this before, but I look at, like, Ed Brubaker and Sean Phillips and their relationship, and that to me is kind of like the gold standard, you know? Like, they've been working together for, like, 15 years.
Right.
And people, I mean, I would read anything that Ed writes and anything that Sean draws, but, and the concepts of their books are all very interesting and intriguing to me. That said, at this point, I don't even care what it is. If they're doing it, I'm going to read it, you know? And I'm following them right. more so than I am the concept of the book. And that's kind of, I mean, that's what we really, I mean, that'd be a dream scenario, you know, like to do a bunch of stuff together that people like, and it's, you know, it's the three of us. That's kind of the idea at this point. So that was when I said, like, we wanted to move on from Cowl to some other stuff. Like, that's why, you know, like we have Hadrian's Wall, we have maybe something else after Hadrian's Wall in mind. But the idea is to kind of further the partnership, and you know, as long as we're all friends and enjoy working together, I don't see any reason why that'll change.
Well, if Cal's any indication, it definitely seems to me you come together and you're more than just the sum of the parts. You seem to have captured something. My last question is, do you have any projects going on outside of comics that you want to mention? Anything we can?
Yeah, well, I'm actually, randomly, I'm shooting a new short film in August. So I haven't shot anything in several years, since the league, really. I mean, I've, like, shot some little, like, spec commercials and stuff in between, but I just decided at a certain point in the last couple months that, you know what, I want to put something together, and I want to shoot again. And I've been writing this feature that's a psychological thriller that it's an idea I've had for a long time, and it would make a great kind of low-budget, high-concept, you know, movie that I could do for very little money. And I was able to put together kind of a 13-minute version of the concept that didn't feel like it was just cannibalizing the feature. You know, it was kind of its own thing, but it also tees up what the feature could be. And I raised some money to do it. And so, yeah, so we're going to shoot in August, and that's kind of taken up a lot of my time right now. The film is called The Shadow Hours. That's the name of the short and the feature. It probably won't be available online or anything like that. I think we're actually going to submit it to festivals and stuff at the end of September when we finish. Because with the league, I put it online, and that actually disqualified it from a lot of festival possibilities. So with this one, we're going to, you know, we're going to submit it around and see what happens. But really, it's more of a showcase for the feature.
Right.
So that's the idea. That's what's going on. But maybe we'll do something, you know, we talked about this with Cowl, and we never actually did it. Maybe we'll put, like, a password code in one of the monthly issues of Hadrian's Wall so that readers could go see the short film.
Because
it's password protected, and that way it's not out wide to the world. Maybe we just put it up for, like, I don't know, like a month or something like that. And
you could hide it and have Rod hide it somewhere in the story.
Yeah, that's a cool idea.
Yeah, like that.
That's a really cool idea, actually. It might do that.
All right, well, I want to thank you for your time. We definitely look forward to Hadrian's Wall and The Shadow Hours. Keep my ears out for that, too. We'll let you listeners know when those two projects are coming out.
Awesome. Thanks so much.
Thanks, you bet.
Yep.